Thursday, again, some breaks of morning sun are possible, then becoming mostly cloudy with rain likely by the afternoon and evening. Upper 40s, nearing 50 degrees. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm meteorologist Amanda Tebow, Focal 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 46 degrees at 101.3 ESPN.
The only full-time FM sports station in Vermont, WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.
Happy Wednesday, everybody out there in Burlington, Plattsburgh, and the rest of the Champlain Valley. It was a good opening night for the Red Sox-Yankees series yesterday. Well, if you're a Sox fan, at least. 14-1, the Red Sox beat the Yanks last night. Mookie Betts punctuated the victory with a grand slam. The two teams will go at it again tonight. We'll have the pregame show for you at 6:25 right here on 101.3 ESPN. David Price on the mound for Boston. Are the Patriots, well, getting closer to identifying who they'd like to be Tom Brady's successor at the quarterback position? Well, it's possible. We've got that name for you here in the huddle as we talk from 4 till 6. The Celtics wrap up their regular season tonight by taking on the Brooklyn Nets. We'll have coverage for you at 7:30 over on our sister station, AM 960 The Zone. And we're one day away from Bruins hockey in the playoffs. The Bees taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. They'll do so tomorrow night. That game also will be over on AM 960 The Zone. We'll talk about that series and share some stories with the voice of the Maple Leafs. 36 years he's been the voice of the Maple Leafs, Joe Bowen. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and we're always streaming, so take us anywhere on the 101.3 ESPN app. And this SportsCenter update brought to you by Rice Memorial High School. They're still accepting applications for the 2018 school year, and you can find them online at rmhsvt.org.
The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
I'm looking good today. I just checked myself in the mirror. And
you are.
Yeah, I'm radio worthy. Maybe even television.
No, I don't. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves, Rich.
Brady, you're looking scruffy today. What's wrong with you? Didn't
you know what? The winner's never leaving,
wow.
So it's okay to have the winner beard. If the winner never leaves, it's okay to have the winner beard.
Yeah.
Real quick, I may have to go to the doctor.
Why?
I don't know. I think like there's something wrong with my left ear. No, I'm serious.
Are you saying you can't hear as well out of your
headphones? Yeah, I can't hear. I don't know what it is. No, I'm serious. I think that, like, my left ear has like wax in it or water in it or something in it.
Swimmer's ear from all that swimming?
Yeah, you know, like,
I do.
Sometimes
swimming.
You get swimmer's ear from all those showers I take. I think is what
That's
it's
right.
called. No, well, I'm being serious.
How many have you taken today so far?
Two.
Just two, okay.
And then he'll take two more, one before basketball
right.
and one after
so
basketball.
So I will take four showers before well, at least I'm clean. But I think I've got shower ear where, no, I'm serious, where the water is like stuck in my ear because I can't get rid of it.
I really think maybe if you just didn't scream,
no,
before every show and then have that go in your headphones, maybe your ears wouldn't hurt as bad.
That too.
Yeah.
That too, but I think there's like water stuck in my ear. I don't know what to do about it.
We got a big pick, or maybe a pencil or something. We could help you out in the lobby. You want to use that?
Well, I was going to do the Q-tips, but they say that's bad for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, apparently that just pushes it in deeper.
Yeah. So what I do is I just take
Your personal hygiene is not really how I
that's
wanted to start off the show.
I don't want to use a Q-tip, so I take a paper clip and I unbend it. And I just stick that in. What? I'm sure that's going to reach the point.
The scary thing is he means it.
Of course I mean it. You just take a paper clip and put a little cotton swab on the end of it. That will get right to the point. I'm sure. You know what it is? I think I'm. This is a true story. Johnny Most, right?
Yes, Johnny Most.
He for 2 years.
That sounded like Arnie.
He sounded like that. For 2 years he was losing his hearing until he went to the doctor and they found out the earpiece from his headphones was stuck in his ear. Maybe there's an earpiece. Wait, let me check. No, there's nothing.
I wouldn't believe that you would actually do that. But I do because...
Why? To check if there's an earpiece in my ear?
No, I'm saying like use a paper clip in your ear.
Oh, totally.
But I can see him doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't because no right-minded human would do that, right. But Arnie would because Arnie's not a right-minded human. When your dog had an accident on your floor, you used WD-40 to try to cover up the smell.
Nothing like WD-40. Yeah. That does everything. Cleans up smell.
It's like duct tape.
Exactly. I mean, who doesn't use WD-40 for just about everything? I put it into my pan when I'm making eggs. What are you talking about? WD-40 is for everything. What's wrong with
you
people?
Shouldn't be touting that as a suggestion. Because somebody will be out there and they'll try it and they'll blame you.
WD-40 eggs. I've never tried that before. That could be really good. Gross. It comes right off the pan real fast. Like, you're right. I'll probably get a person gets sick trying to make eggs with WD-40.
Right. By the way, he's kidding. Don't try that at home. So you have to cover yourself now with everything that you say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did clean the rug with WD-40 and it worked out great. So I'm gonna use it again. I use it for my toilet, for my sinks. I do it for the whole house, really.
That's great. Not a lot of squeaking around your house.
No, zero. Zero squeaking on that. You're playing ball tonight?
I am playing ball tonight.
It's only for ballers tonight.
That's right. That's why I'm coming.
It's only for ballers tonight.
That's why I'm playing.
Are you showing up, Arnie?
I am going to be there. I will be there tonight.
How many minutes are you playing?
I may. You know, two guys tried to rough me up on Monday, I think.
If they had to try to rough you up, then they probably don't belong.
It's not like you're a moving target.
One guy's like a big muscle guy, but he isn't very good. You know what I'm talking about? He's like average at best, but he thinks he's better. And his friend with a goatee who's just like all hyper and thinks he's real good.
Is that the one who usually talks junk to you?
No. No, it's a new guy that doesn't like me.
Okay.
There's so many people that don't like me, and I'm losing track, huh? I'm not sure, but yeah, no, it's a new guy that doesn't like me, and I think they were trying to rough me up on Monday, and I'm going to see if
I'll defend you tonight.
No, I don't know. I wasn't ready for it on Monday. Today, I'll be ready for it. I'll be ready for it.
So the winner gets Tromboli's team?
No, this is pickup ball.
This is pickup ball.
You're in so many leagues, I can't tell.
This is pickup ball on that. Burger Bar.
Rich, can we talk this up a little bit, please?
Yeah, Rich won. One of the, well, not
the second round.
The second round.
Yeah, the rounds 3 and 4, which is called the second round.
But you did so bad in the first round.
The questions were completely impossible.
Say the questions are impossible. You have access to the questions.
Not last night I didn't.
So no wonder you won round two.
There was some,
come on.
You work at the place where the questions
are.
How
about a little credit?
I call it cheating. Collusion is what I'm
saying. Sitting at the bar with a beer and potato skins. How's that cheating?
So one of the questions was, what am I? You make me with bourbon, boiling water, lemon, and somebody wrote torture. Yeah. Actually, that was our intern, Sam, that said that. No, I'm serious.
I definitely didn't get that.
It was
one,
a hot toddy was the answer.
Yeah, I prefer beer.
I asked my famous beer. 4 score and 7 years ago. How many years is that?
87.
So somebody got that one wrong.
Did. Oh.
Yeah.
No, I got 12 in the second round, which is 12 out of what?
Yeah, but you didn't 16. Win anything because there was people that higher than you.
Yeah, well, no, there wasn't. You just wouldn't give me a prize
because you thought it was
cheating.
No.
I wanted an ESPN T-shirt because I only have 7 of them.
We had like 2 people had 14 and 1 had 13. You finished out of the money. we would have given you a stinking prize, but you finished out of the money. That's what happened.
More
there.
Stuff that says ESPN on it.
But anyway, it was rocking last night, Brady. The burger bar, it was all packed again. So I want to thank everybody that came on out. It was a lot of fun. We're having a good time out there. So half-price appetizers. I mean, the kids at St. Mike's, they like eat for like a month on the half-price appetizers.
If I had a place in college that was within walking distance and offered half-price appetizers, I would probably never leave there. I mean, and
pull up a cot in the parking lot.
250 beers and half-price appetizers, I could go and have a great night on $10.
Exactly.
Right there is perfect.
No, it was a good crowd all night, so thanks to everybody that came out to the Burger Bar. It was a lot of fun. Rich was hanging out, introduced me to some of his friends out there. So
yeah. Watching the Sox just embarrass the New York Yankees.
Wow. I'm sure we're going to get to that a little bit later.
I hope we do. In fact, I think we should spend the whole show talking about that game.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, it's baseball.
We can break it down inning by inning.
Well, let's not get carried away. Matter of fact, we got a lot to get to. Brady, what's coming up on the show? What's going on?
Well, first off, remember the mistake of the day. The mistake of the day is our new feature, so you get a chance to hold us accountable. Since you guys are all smart know-it-alls, which is fine, you guys get a chance to get into the Town Fair Tire text line. Hold us accountable. If you find a mistake that one of us makes, and chances are it's Arnie that makes it, then you get to put in that mistake on the Town Fair Tire text line. And then at the end of the day, we get a qualifier for the day. Last week it was yesterday it was Aaron in Bridport. Monday it was Cody in Plattsburgh. So at the end of the week, we've got five qualifiers. Best mistake, best qualifier gets that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, where they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for what's coming up today on the show, some interesting comments from the Patriots to a new player. Also, what might the Patriots be doing in the draft?
Yep.
Joe Bowen, 36-year voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs, a legend in the hockey community, joins us at 4:35. Buster Olney at 5 o'clock. A question on the Bruins we'll talk about. But first, the Sox sent a message last night. And if you are a Red Sox fan, you have to be on cloud nine today. That was impressive last night, 14-1.
And I was a little bummed out when in the first they only scored one run and they had runners on what, first and third.
They did, with one out.
With one out. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you got to get to him now. You don't get to him now, you're never going to get to him. And, you know, I'm doing the trivia. Next thing I look up, I go, how did it get to be 4-0?
Right, you asked me, and I said, I don't know.
I have no idea. Next thing, boom, they exploded after that. This is important. But it is still only one game. But it's only important just to send something mentally to the Yankees like, hey, we are not just pushovers. We are the two-time defending champions. This is not going to be easy. The Red Sox are actually better than I thought, and not because of their record, because we know the first, what was it, 7-8 games against
the first nine games
nine
against
games.
Tampa and the Marlins.
So let's see how they do. I'm going to pump the brakes now, but damn, this was a good start against this series.
And it's against Severino and Canely, too. I mean, they scored 10 runs off of those two guys. And, you know, and it was a combination of their ace getting shelled and one of their important relief pitchers getting shelled. And I think that matters. And like I said yesterday, I don't think any of this matters unless the Red Sox sweep the series. To me, that would be sending a message, because the Yankees could very easily go out there and win 1-0 tonight, and, you know, all would be fine in the world for the Yankee fans. But you don't like losing 14-1. That sends a very loud message.
I don't know that it's so much a message to just the Yankees individually as it is a message to the entire league as a whole, because we have tried to qualify the Red Sox success around the league and say, oh, they're 8-1. Oh, let's see how they do against, quote, real teams. Right. Oh, you've even said, oh, they beat basically a double-A lineup when they played the Rays in that opening series. This is a message to everybody. Look, the Yankees are the team you all think is better than us. That is not the case. We are not just going to forfeit over this division. And Mookie Betts, he delivered the crushing blow last night.
Grave checks the runners, kicks in, comes to the plate 2-1, and Mookie hammers it. Deep left field, way back, grand slam, Mookie Betts. His third career grand slam, and the Red Sox have blown this absolutely wide open. It is 14-1.
Mookie Betts with that grand
slam.
Wow,
play that again. No, Tom.
I thought you actually wanted me to play it again.
I was going
to
say, go ahead and play it again. I'm going to make a prediction.
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
No, I'm only going to say this because the Red Sox offense was really stagnant, even though they got off to a good start. If it ever goes back to the way it was for the first, what was it, 8-9 games or whatever it was, they'll move Betts out of that leadoff spot.
He wants to be in that leadoff spot.
And Cora's not budging him. He went on after the game and said that's where he belongs. Cora knew it. He was almost boasting about it.
You better hope Martinez gets going. Yeah. I know he's batting like 220 and all that, because if they sputter, you're not keeping him. You just can't. I mean, look, I know you love batting up there, but you got to do what's best for the team.
What's best for the team is get a guy who's you see this all over baseball. Teams want their best hitters hitting higher in the order so they get more at-bats. You hit leadoff, that's an extra 50, 60 at-bats for the year.
You would never bat Judge first. We argued about that before. Remember the rumor?
They did it in spring training.
I know, that's crazy, though. You can't bat him first. You need those RBIs.
Right, but the Yankees are the epitome of the absolute poster children of top-heavy in the lineup. Yeah, I mean, look at the bottom, and especially if you're going to throw Sanchez, who's hitting now 0-56 from the five hole, and you're going to follow him with Austin and Andujar and Romine, and I think Robinson batted ninth last night, his first appearance of the year. The top of that lineup better hit, because where else is it going to come
from? Brady, answer this trivia question. When's the last time the top slugging percentage guy batted leadoff on a team? Because that's what's going on with Mookie Betts. That's incredible.
That's three consecutive games he's led off the game with a double. I mean, and what I love about this, and we talked about this in the offseason, is this new offensive approach that the Red Sox are employing. Alex Cora has said, we want you swinging early in the count.
Right.
We want you being aggressive. And I love that, because the stats bear this out, that if the at-bat is decided on 0-0 or in fastball counts, 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, when you take advantage of fastball counts, you hit exponentially higher. I hate the idea of letting major league pitchers just pump in strike after strike and get you down 1-2 just so we can say, oh, we made the at-bat go 4 or 5 pitches. It's a waste of potential good pitches to hit, and the Sox aren't letting that happen right now.
No, but that being said, they were patient in that game last night. I mean, Severino threw 94 pitches in 5 innings. He walked a bunch of guys. The Yankees walked 7 guys, and I think 6 of them scored.
Right, but there's a difference between just free swinging and going up there aggressive swinging at strikes. Because last year we would see it where this team would Tom Caron told us about it. We bragged all year about Xander Bogaerts' average with 2 strikes. Well, the reason why we had to do that is because he always got the 2 strike counts. He would take the first 2 pitches, be down 0-2, and then he'd battle off 2 pitches, and then he'd work at the 2-2, and then he might get a hit. But that doesn't work that way for most. The average with 1-2 and 0-2 are like in the hundreds in Major League Baseball. It's impossible to hit in those situations, and Alex Cora has implored his players, be aggressive, hit fastballs, hit strikes. Look, Jose Altuve's won 2 batting titles now employing that same. He doesn't need 11 pitches per at-bat to be successful. He needs 1 in Houston with Cora last year. I like what Betts is doing now.
You know, it used to be back in the day that the leadoff hitter did have a little bit of pop. You know, like a Tim Raines wasn't just a singles.
Ricky Henderson.
Bonds. Yeah. How many home runs did he have from that leadoff that started the game? It used to be that if you were the leadoff guy, you had some pop out there. I mean, you weren't a home run hitter but you had some pop out there.
Well, one reason they put Bonds at the top of the order was because everyone walked him on purpose, so they wanted to try to get around that.
Well, even his father, though, had the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his father
had the OBP record. Was through the roof.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing stuff from Betts last night. He's also the first Red Sox player with 4 hits, 4 runs, and 4 RBI from the leadoff spot. In all of Red Sox history, he is the first player, 4 hits, 4 runs, 4 RBI from the leadoff spot. And also in history, before Tuesday, only one other player in history had ever recorded 4 hits and 4 RBI while scoring 5 runs against the Yankees. That was Ken Griffey in 1996. Betts is now one of 2 people in history to do that. Pretty impressive stuff.
He's hitting .432. And I mean, we're going to be able to say, I know it's early, but .432 is what it is.
That's
right. I
don't care what they say. There's no way he's going to be batting every...
of course not.
No, can't just do it.
No, but the one
can't
problem with Mookie last year, he drove in his 100 runs, but what did he hit? About .265? I mean, everybody kind of went, that's a little strange.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, if he's going to start out .430, that's good news, you know, come All-Star time, hopefully he'll have a .300 average.
Did you see after the game on ESPN? This game was on NESN, obviously locally, but it was also on ESPN nationally.
Right.
And after the game, your buddy Steve Levy was interviewing Betts. And John Farrell, who now works at Baseball Tonight, yeah. Levy basically throws Farrell to him and says, hey, Mookie, I got your old buddy John Farrell here. He wants to talk with you. And this is how it sounded last night.
Mookie, I have one more question for you. I got a friend of yours here. Hey, your Mookie. Skipper, John Farrell's here. Say hi. Hey, Mookie, how you doing, man? Listen, last year, no Grand Slams all season long. Here you are, you and Bogey with each one in the first 10 games of the season. There was a lot of talk early on. You guys are going to be a more aggressive in the count, early in the count. Has that paid any dividends for you personally?
For sure. You know, I take a lot of pitches, and I kind of made it a point this year to try and be aggressive and swing early because that's kind of when they're attacking me. So it's definitely worked this year.
So that was after
Would
the
you and me.
A.K.A. Your approach is way different than when I was your manager, and right. Now I'm way better.
I was going to say, would you like me to translate that where it said, you made me take pitches. If I didn't have to listen to you, I would have been a lot better hitter. Now that you're gone, thank goodness, I thought we got you fired, so I don't want to hear from you. Now I'm so much better. That's pretty much what he said.
And we like Steve Levy. I didn't like him throwing his old manager to the Wolves
that
way. I actually thought Farrell asked a pretty intelligent question. I thought Betts handled it well, too. It was funny. It wasn't all that awkward, but Nesson...
No, I would like more awkwardness.
Nesson put it on Twitter, this is the most uncomfortable watch you'll see all day.
Really?
I was like, sounded pretty good to me. Pretty
professional. You want awkward? I'll give you awkward. No, that's not even close. I'll make it real awkward if you want. I'll give him some questions to ask, and I'll be the moderator on that one.
I just like the Three Dog Night plane in the background.
Yeah. you like that one.
Remember that one, Arnie?
Kevin in South Burlington said you should play that call every segment today. Go Sox. So Yeah, could you imagine that? You're playing it, coming in back from every break as the Red Sox
Yankee
win.
Fans love us.
Yeah, just remember now, it is just one game.
Exactly. So like I said, we could be looking at 1-0 tonight. So that's the great thing about baseball. You only have to suffer for a few hours.
Brady, who's pitching
lose.
Tonight? I don't even know who's on the mound
it's
tonight.
It's Price.
David Price is on the mound
and
for the
Tanaka.
Sox. And Tanaka. So this is a battle of aces in the first two games of this series.
And our listener was down there who won the tickets, took pictures, sent that back. So he saw a good game. Boy, he must have some good stories on that one. That's for sure. That's great. Look, people are calling. They think that we're going to give away more Red Sox tickets. That's done. That's done. No more Red Sox tickets because Rich and I get to keep the Red Sox tickets for ourselves.
Oh, do we?
Well, we got to go to a
what
game
tickets
this year.
Do I get?
None. You're a Mariner. You're a Mariner.
You're
fan.
Too busy being the boss.
Yeah, you're the boss. You got too much going on.
Let me
on.
Guess. It's a Tampa game. How many? They must not play Tampa after May 1st or whatever.
Well, good. I'm tired of Tampa.
I'm not.
Every other series is against Tampa. All right, we're off and running. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, the Patriots, they said they, quote, want to make one player the player that he should be. And do we now have a little better idea of what they're looking at in the draft?
All right, all that's coming up next. We're off and running right here in the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Back to the Huddle. You can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. I'm telling you, man, that my left ear just does not sound clear. I don't know what it is. It's
well,
just not clear.
That sounds like a you problem.
Give me a paper clip, Rich. Give me a paper clip right there.
I can find one. There's a pen.
Sharp pencil. Just give me a really, really sharp pencil.
That can't be a good result if you put lead directly into your eardrum. Is it safe to say that won't turn out well?
Well, they say the pencil tip isn't really lead. So,
well, whatever it is,
it's probably not good for
you. That's good for your ears.
No.
So instead, we'll use a paper clip.
Well, I mean, I was going to say something else, but I'm going to pass on that. So there you go.
We have company.
Steven New Haven says Brady was wrong. He said twice Bet scored four runs. He scored five times.
But he scored four runs. He did score four runs. I'm telling you that the stat is this. Okay, Betts is the first Red Sox player with four hits, four runs, and four RBIs from the leadoff spot. He scored at least four runs, so that stat holds true.
Yeah, I can't argue with this.
I'm not sure what you're arguing about, but I'm going to take your side on this.
No, I take your side,
I don't understand this.
Because I almost corrected you, but then I thought, okay, well, if you think through what he's saying 4-4-4 is the record.
Yes, so he also exceeded that by scoring five runs.
I see, so he could have had... Seven RBIs.
Yes, but
seven runs,
but he would still have scored four. He still would have been the first player to get 4-4-4.
I know, so it's still open. No
I almost checked in on that, seeing if I could win, because that sounded like a mistake.
Mike at Swanton wants a mistake where you said, Rich, pencils aren't even lead. But that's not really a mistake.
Well, sure it is. There's no lead in pencils? Is that...
I'm not
really?
Sure.
Do I need to waste my time looking
at I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Graphite?
I don't know. I can't give you credit for
we
that.
We have some intelligent guests in the studio today to answer these questions.
I don't like when intelligent people are here. It takes away from all the fun.
It's intimidating.
All right, what's going on with the Patriots, Brady? What's happening there?
Well, the Patriots, you want to get to the draft. We'll get to that momentarily.
I do.
But did you see this interesting exchange? So Cordarrelle Patterson, the wide receiver they acquired in a trade from the Oakland Raiders, he had his first interview, his first conference call, whatever. They said that the first thing Bill Belichick basically told him when they acquired him was, we are going to make you the player, quote, you should be.
Because you sucked before, so basically, we're going to get you better to what you are.
No. I took it as more arrogant than that. Okay. Usually, like, other teams don't know what they're doing with you. We're going to figure out how to use you the right way.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the difference maker there. You know, when Rich and I were talking behind your back when you weren't around, we saw it says Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm like,
Cordarrelle, excuse me.
I'm like, you know what? I'd ask this guy for more breadsticks at the Olive Garden. I mean, this guy's not a difference maker, is it? Am I wrong, Rich, or what?
Well, he'll be a difference maker on kickoffs, assuming they have kickoffs. I mean, that's another subject.
Where have they been on kickoffs over the last couple of years, Brady?
Patriots are one of the best teams in terms of starting field position.
He's one of the best kickoff guys in the NFL.
That could be different because of turnovers, though. Is that not, Brady? I mean, when you get turnovers,
I meant kickoff field position.
Oh, okay, okay. So, okay. So I didn't even know. I thought they were really below average. I didn't know they were actually.
No, Deion Lewis is good. Okay. He also returned one for a touchdown last year, so that will inflate your average.
Okay, I didn't know. I thought they had problems there, so I didn't know why he's making a big stink about this, like they've had some problem with field position or something like that. So, look, it's another weapon. The Patriots need all the weapons at this point since it seems like they're losing so many.
Patriots
so.
Were third in the league last year in kickoff return average.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's a lot better than I thought, Rich.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, this may be the mistake of the day, Patterson it was first. So, I mean, this is a field position pickup. No question about it.
Yeah, but that doesn't do any good for me when they say, quote, the player that you should be. Because
yeah, what does
we
that
already
mean?
Know
well, that
he's
means wide receiver, don't you think?
Yes, but I don't see any way that which Cordarrelle Patterson becomes a huge part of this wide receiver's core.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not that he's not even capable of being a good wide receiver. It's just that I don't see where he's going to get the usage.
Right.
Edelman's going to be number one, and then you're going to throw in Gronk as a pass catcher is 1A. Then you've got Hogan and Malcolm Mitchell. I don't see when Patterson gets on the field enough to be this home run threat that maybe they want him to be.
Dorsett, Britt, maybe. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's just like running back. They pick up a new running back. What is he, sixth on the list now? Where are you going to put him?
I don't know. Matter of fact, I think Gronk has had more catches last year than Patterson had the last 3 years.
Yeah,
one of them it was two catches, though.
He is
so.
Definitely one thing, and he's good at it. He's
guy. No, not necessarily true. I mean, he's had catches. Yeah, he had 40 to, that means he had
you just heard
52
the list.
And 31, so 31's not great.
But you just heard the list on the depth chart ahead of him, so good luck with that.
I mean, I just – Cordarrelle Patterson is best served as a Swiss Army knife type player.
Yep.
A guy who
That's
line,
true.
A guy who lines up in the backfield, a guy who goes in the slot, a guy who gets the ball in the reverse. So he, to me, strikes me as a trick play type guy. He strikes me as a poor man's Percy Harvin.
I was just about to say that, but Percy Harvin's a much better receiver, I believe.
Yes, that's why I said he's a poor man's Percy Harvin.
Well, okay.
So he strikes me as a poor man's Percy Harvin. And
without the attitude, too.
When I look at it and see in the Patriots' backfield already dynamic players like Rex Burkhead and James White, I don't see a lot of opportunity for him to line up in the backfield. Then I look out wide and I see Gronk in the interior of the field. I see Edelman hopefully healthy, Malcolm Mitchell hopefully healthy, and then I see I see Hogan. I'm just not seeing the opportunity there for Patterson to be any kind of real dynamic threat for this team.
All right, Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. Boy, Stephen New Haven is not giving up on you, Brady. I can tell you that. He goes, I still think you misspoke, but I still love the show. So he got that in there.
And Danny from Colchester got me with the graphite and the pencil thing.
So we will qualify the people that said it's not Rich said it was lead and
tough
it's not.
Crowd.
All right, so we'll give you a break on that one. All right, we'll go ahead and do that. So
and Mike and Swanton, don't forget Jordan Matthews on that depth chart. Yeah, if he makes
I totally forgot about that.
If he makes the team, which is I still don't think is a guarantee, then he is a more dependable receiver than Cordarrelle Patterson. I just don't see, again, where Patterson gets anything more than enough snaps at wide receiver to be more than a home run threat, a trick play guy. I don't see him, even though the Patriots go four wide a lot, I don't see him being there frequently enough to make a huge difference in the passing game.
All right. Again, 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line if you want to go ahead and jump on in. Heard big news today on Colin Cowherd per Mike Freeman, who's in, and what was he, Brady, an NFL insider?
NFL insider.
He said he heard, and this is what he's reporting, so I'm just going to go off what he's reporting, that the Patriots are going to use one of their first round draft picks. What ones do they have? 23 and 31.
Yep.
I don't know which one they're going to use. I think it was number 23 to get Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, out of Louisville.
Did he say that, or did he say the Patriots are the team with the most interest in Jackson?
No, he said that's what the Patriots were going to use with the number 23 pick. He even said which pick they were going to use to take him.
So he can sit on the bench for at least the next 2 years and do nothing. That's great.
That's okay.
23rd pick.
I got to tell you.
What a waste.
You don't like Lamar Jackson?
No, I don't like a quarterback at 23. I like a guy to protect the quarterback they have at 23.
I'm dying to hear what Patriot fans have to say. So get in the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. I think this is Bill Belichick trying to be the smartest guy in the room. If he really wants a quarterback, by the way, all these quarterbacks that are going to be drafted, none of them are going to play next year, barring injury. None of them will play, for the most part.
You don't think Sam Darnold is going to be the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns next year?
No, they picked up Ty Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
No, I don't think they're going to throw him to the Wolves like that. I don't think any of them will play right off the bat, barring injury. So, look, I like Lamar Jackson. I mean, he was a Heisman Trophy winner. He certainly got some wheels. They questioned his arm. I don't know why, because he had a pretty good percentage. I know they run that offense where there's a lot of dinks and dunks. I like him, Rich. I think it could be a good pickup for the Patriots, but if you want a quarterback in the first round, I still would trade him and get one of the big guns out there.
Because I was hearing 2 months ago when the hype for the draft started that he was a third rounder. I mean, all of a sudden now, and then I heard second rounder, now he's going in the first round, so I don't know what to believe.
I think even after the Heisman, he was always going to be a first rounder.
Wouldn't that be a complete turnabout, a 360 for the Patriots' offensive scheme? I mean, think about how completely opposite he is than Tom Brady.
You like Lamar Jackson or not a fan of his?
No, it doesn't. Lamar Jackson's fine, and I like the idea of getting a guy who actually is not a finished product right now, because I know Tom Brady is going to hold back whoever's playing for at least 1 to 2 years. So if I go and get a finished product who's refined, who then sits on the bench for a year or two and gets salty about it, that's not a good
situation.
Well,
they're all going to – I said the Rich are all going to stay on the bench because there's – you know, nobody's going to play next
but
year.
Guys who are ready to play have a better – tend to have an easier chance of getting upset about not playing right away.
True.
Whereas if Lamar Jackson knows he's not ready, can sit there, absorb, learn, not make Brady feel threatened and get Brady resentful because he's not breathing down his neck, then that's a good situation all in all. We do have a call when we're going to the Patriots, but we do have to go to break shortly.
All right. You want to take a call? Who's on the line?
Jim from Middlebury about the Giants, though.
Jim in Middlebury. Jim, you're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, I just want to know why the Giants – what are the Giants going to do? You know, are they going to draft a quarterback, which they shouldn't, or are they going to, you know – Trade up, maybe to Buffalo.
Why wouldn't they draft the quarterback? Why would you say they don't need a quarterback?
Well, because you're going to get a quarterback every year. There's going to be a quarterback comes out every year.
No, not like this class. Except I think the last time there's been a quarterback class like this was, 1983, where there were 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round. This is a freak year.
I don't think so. You don't know what these guys can do. No one knows what these guys can do. I mean, they have a third-round pick that's good. Look what the Cowboys did last year with Prescott.
And I appreciate the call. The only reason he dropped was because of his off-field DUI. So that's the reason why he dropped a round. He would have been taken higher had he not had the off-field DUI.
5 quarterbacks taken in 99, so that happened in 99. Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, Akili Smith, Dante Culpepper, Cade McNabb.
I said 6 in 83. I hope I'm right on that. Otherwise, I'm sure the people are going to be corrected. That was the year Dan Marino was the final quarterback, I believe, taken in that draft. That's unbelievable. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Jim Bowen, or Joe Bowen, rather.
Joe Bowen.
That's a mistake.
I corrected myself.
He corrected himself.
Joe Bowen, I had a gym teacher named Jim Bowen once.
Oh, that's why.
Joe Bowen, the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's been calling Leafs games for 36 years.
Nice.
He'll join us next.
All right, that's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The commercials are over, and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Wednesday. It is an exciting week here in New England sports. Red Sox, Yankees, Celtics regular season finishing up, and the start to the NHL playoffs. The chase for the cup is on, and it kicks off on Thursday. That's tomorrow with the Bruins taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find ourselves the voice of the Maple Leafs, and he's been the voice of the Maple Leafs for more than 30 years. It's Joe Bowen. Joe, how are you?
I'm good, Brady. How are you today?
We're good as well. We're excited for the Stanley Cup playoffs, as I'm sure you are. And let me ask you this, simply put, how have you done it in your career? More than 3,000 Maple Leafs games. That's incredible.
Well, you know what? I'm watching the greatest athletes in the world. It's maybe the most exciting sport that you could possibly cover. And it's been every night there's something different. So, it's been a wonderful ride. This is year 36 of it. And we're hoping that this young Toronto Maple Leaf team is on the cusp of some pretty exciting things and may have to start here against your Bruins, but why not?
You know, I hate this question because it feels lazy to me, but I feel like you're a worthy recipient of it. I feel like you have to have some great stories from your career. What are some of the best memories that you have as a broadcaster for so long?
Well, I think I've been probably about 50 different buildings that I've been around. I was fortunate enough to do five of the six original buildings that were in the National Hockey League, and then to see how this, you know, the league has certainly expanded and grown. The athletes have gotten bigger and better. I mean, we've had some pretty good runs in the playoffs with going 21 games and 42 nights in 93 and only to lose to Wayne Gretzky and the LA Kings in Game 7. So a lot of great memories as far as some of the athletes, but I think most of all it's just that, being around some of the greatest players, I think certainly the greatest athletes in the world. This sport is unlike anything else. Anybody can run, anybody can grab a ball and just have it in his hands and shoot it or throw it or do whatever. But if you're going to play hockey, you've got to be able to first learn how to do a discipline that no one does naturally, and that is skate. And then you've got to be able to handle the disc with a six-foot pole. So these are wonderful athletes, and they have a skill set that is unchallenged, I think, in any other sport that you can name around the world.
We'll get to Bruins Maple Leafs in a second. Again, the series starts tomorrow, but one more question for you. What are your favorite cities to travel to do games in?
Well, I'm here in Boston early today because I'm a big Red Sox fan, and I've never seen a game with the Red Sox and the Evil Empire.
Wow.
So I'm going to Fenway tonight thanks to David Beeston, a good friend of ours, that whose dad used to be the president of the Toronto Blue Jays. So I'm looking forward to that. I've always loved Boston. I love cities that have history attached to them because I think if I wasn't a broadcaster of this, I would be a history professor or teacher somewhere along the line. So cities like this and Chicago are great places to go and visit and great places to wander around and just enjoy the history of the region.
Now, home run calls get a lot of notoriety, and up here you talk about the Evil Empire. Well, John Sterling's home run calls are always a topic of conversation, but your goal call, I believe, Holy Mackinac, where did that come from?
Well, my unfortunately I don't know. My dad, who passed away before I went into high school when I was just finishing elementary school, used to use it while I sat on his lap and we watched Maple Leaf games. And when the great John Bauer, our favorite goalie, would make a great save or it was an exciting play, my dad would exclaim, "Holy Mackinac, did you see that save by Johnny Bauer?" I guess instead of deleted expletive with a six-year-old on his lap, I don't know where he got it. And I did junior hockey for 8 years, and I did the American Hockey League for 3 years in Nova Scotia with the Voyageurs, and then probably about 4 or 5 years here doing Leaf games. And one night in Chicago, Felix Potvin made a great save, and I blurted that out. And I don't know why I did, or just from the recesses of my mind, I guess. My broadcast partner at the time, Bill Waters, fell off his chair laughing. And I thought, well, if I got that response from him, maybe we'll use it again. And we have. And we've used it for other things. My third oldest boy, Sean, had leukemia when he was a year old. And he's now 27 years of age and healthy and big as a house. But we've sold Holy Mackinac T-shirts to try and raise money for leukemia research. So it's done some good as well as having some fun with it on the air.
Yeah, I read a lot of that stuff. Unbelievable story in your work for that cause. Joe Bowen, voice of the Maple Leafs, 36 years now with us on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Game one of the playoffs tomorrow. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30 over on AM 960 The Zone. Let's move to the series itself. What do you think the key to this series is?
Well, there's obviously a bunch of keys. As far as the Maple Leafs are concerned, they have to try to contain the Bruins' number one line, and it's one of the best lines in the National Hockey League. And the Bruins, they have to contain four Maple Leaf lines because the Leafs have got as well a balanced attack as any team in the NHL and are among the league leaders in offense, and it is spread around. Austin Matthews, the young man who was selected number one a year ago by the Maple Leafs, has had a bit of an injury bug hit him this year, but he's rounded into form and he'll certainly attract much of the attention. But the Bruins are going to have to be very leery of what the other lines in this team can do. And they're a four-line hockey club. very young, very quick, and that will be an issue that the Leafs are going to have to exploit. They're going to have to make sure that they get all four lines going and get their speed game going against a Bruins team that has had a horrific schedule down the stretch. And I'm sure Toronto fans are hoping maybe there's a little less in the gas tank than normal.
A lot of the conversation, I think, is centered on the Maple Leafs' youth and how the Bruins can exploit that. The Maple Leafs' top three scorers are all under 21 years old. But the Bruins, while they do have a veteran presence, they have a lot of youth, too. Should we be concerned about Boston's youth also?
Well, the one thing that the Maple Leaf youth got was a baptism under fire last year. All of those kids participated in that wonderful six-game series with the Washington Capitals, and five of those games went into overtime. So they've gotten a taste of it. And some of the Bruins youth will be making its first appearance in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that will be an issue for them to get over. But, you know, they've got a real good group of veteran players around them. They'll make sure that these guys all understand exactly what needs to be done. So I think it's just going to be a real good series. And I think that it's going to be an issue just as far as goaltending is going to be an issue, and special teams are going to be an issue. If the Bruins think that they can be a physical team against the Leafs and take penalties, the Leaf power play has really been firing on all cylinders here in the last 2 months, and I think is if not first, second in the National Hockey League in proficiency. So that will be an issue as well. There's going to be a lot of different little sidebar stories, that's for sure.
Joe, I had somebody tell me their assessment of the Maple Leafs, and they said this is a team that thinks they can outscore everyone, and that's a bit arrogant because they haven't addressed their defense. Why don't you set the record straight? What is it about? What can we expect out of Toronto's back end in their goaltending?
Well, it's young. It's very mobile. It's not a physical defense. It doesn't have the size of, obviously, Chara and the others. But one of the things that it does do is move the puck extraordinarily well. And they've had great goaltending from Frederik Andersen throughout. I think everybody has sat there and wondered, you know, is there a number one and a number two guy on the Leaf defense? Well, Morgan Rielly and Jake Gardner are going to have been around longer than others, and they'll be, you know, held responsible for trying to elevate their game a little bit to be in that number one and two slot. So it will be interesting to see how they respond to it. But again, they've had this baptism under fire last year, and it should be interesting to see how they come along. But the Leaf defense is deep, and I think that that's one of the other aspects that we can look forward to this year as far as Toronto. Their depth in the organization is really something. They're going to have three or four guys sit out that probably could start and should start in other circumstances.
Talking with Joe Bowen, voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs, with us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Look, the Blue Jays were in the ALCS back-to-back years just a few years ago. The Raptors are going to get the number one seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs in the NBA. That's a lot of sports success in Toronto, but how much more does this mean to the fans in Toronto?
Well, you've forgotten Toronto FC going right through into the Champions League, too. So
yeah.
We really have had some success. And you know what? Attitude and everything, I mean, it breeds itself. And I know that long-suffering Leaf fans who have not hoisted the Stanley Cup since 1967 are very, very excited about this team. And I think the excitement is certainly warranted. If it's not this year, it's going to be, I would think, in the next three or four. They have really modeled themselves after what the Chicago Blackhawks did by tearing it down, building from within, making sure that your depth is there. The Toronto Marlies, their American Hockey League farm team, is the best in the AHL and ran away with it. And you don't see that very often, where two teams that are going to be very good in the same year happen to be back-to-back. And so it'll be interesting to see how the depth of this organization plays out, not only this year, but in future years down the road.
Joe, we'll get you out of here on this question. We all know about the unspeakable tragedy that happened in Saskatchewan over the weekend with the Humboldt Broncos. Maple Leafs head coach Mike Babcock was very emotional in talking about that. There was a really powerful tribute between the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens in the first game after that tragedy. How has that affected the Maple Leafs in general and the entire nation of Canada?
Well, the outpouring has been unbelievable. From a GoFundMe page that is clearing up now past $8 million, donations coming from all over Canada and all over the world. There was a piece from Great Britain where the UK Hockey Championship is on. And while the two teams were playing, the crowd started chanting, "Let's go Broncos." And neither of those teams were named Broncos.
Yeah.
All of the kids across Canada, one of the real nice touching moments is that they've put their sticks out on their doorsteps. Just kind of in a tribute that, hey, guys, if you need an extra stick up there, take mine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's heart-wrenching. I had a very good friend who's a flight attendant, and she was flying from Toronto to Newfoundland, St. John's, Newfoundland, and one of the fathers of the boys was bringing his son home in an urn. Mm. And she texted me and said that the whole plane stood and gave this gentleman a standing ovation. A fella in business class gave up his seat. And she said, "I'm not sure I'm going to be able to keep it together before we land." Mm. It has been unbelievable, really. And this is a small community of about 6,000 people. And it's not a junior team that was going to funnel players into the National Hockey League next year. It wasn't one of the major teams. But it was a team that everybody has taken to heart. And it has been an embracing of goodwill and prayers across our nation. And it has spread. If for nothing else, listening to you talk about it, it's spread all over the world because we all put our kids on buses and anticipate that they're going to get to their event, whether it be school-oriented or team-oriented, safe and sound. And when one doesn't, it touches everybody.
Well, it's a tragic story, and the hockey community gets a little bit of relief starting tomorrow, the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Bruins and the Maple Leafs. Joe Bowen, one of the best in the business, 36 years, the voice of the Maple Leafs, more than 3,000 games called. Joe, we appreciate the time, the perspective. Enjoy the playoffs again this year, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, guys, and let's go Red Sox.
Oh, let's play some hockey. Let's play some hockey. Let's go. Let's go. Is that great or what?
Nice man, get.
Are you ready to roll or what?
That's a great guest to have.
That is awesome.
Wow.
Does it not get you excited or man, what? Ready to
I
roll?
I am ready to go. Hopefully he won't get to yell, "And the Maple Leafs score!" very often.
No, it's not that. It's Holy Mackinac.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Holy Mackinac. Wasn't there a player, a baseball player? No? Am I thinking of somebody else?
From where?
Mackinac? No? Thinking of something else.
Don't know.
I don't know. I got too much stuff in my head. I think I got that.
And
I got
too much wax in your
ear.
Yeah,
my left ear. Yeah. Just my left ear. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, a special guest, a local sixth grader who thinks he could do the job better than Rich. So we're going to put him on the air. That's coming up next right here on 101.3.
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Definitely got wax in my left ear. Definitely got the wax in the left ear. Brady, introduce our special guest, would you please?
Yeah, we've got our new buddy and a fan. Well, I don't know if he's a fan of yours. But
yeah,
I know
big
he's
a fan of mine.
I know he's a fan of mine. It's our buddy Riley Ash, who's a sixth grade student. Riley, what's up, man?
How you doing, Riley?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here with all of you.
Appreciate you coming on by, my friend. Riley is a sixth grader who wants to get into sports radio.
He wants to be in sports radio. Riley, where do you go to school?
I go to Albert D. Lawton in Essex Junction.
So that means he's buddies with, he'll go to Essex High School and become buddies with our friend Jeff Goodrich, the athletic director there.
That's
so,
right. That's right.
And
love it.
Riley, you know more than Arnie because in the break you're telling him about the Patriots wide receiver situation.
I have to say, before you said when you're trying to introduce this.
Yes.
You said he thinks he knows more than Rich, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I do not know more than Rich.
Well, don't sell yourself short. You may know more than Rich.
that might be true.
You sure know more than Rich in sixth grade.
Now, we were talking about the Patriot wide receivers, and you were going through the list there. How do you think they are going to be for the upcoming year? You like the crew?
I think they're set with wide receivers. I think Cordell Patterson will really be a kickoff guy, trick plays, might put him at the slot.
So exactly what I said.
Yeah, exactly what you said.
Geniuses.
I think they're good with wide receivers.
What should they do in the draft? And, you know, I take that back. You liked the trade of Brandon Cooks.
I did because, I mean, they have a lot of receivers and that I think that can play Brandon Cooks' role, like Philip Brissett. And for a first-round pick, that you know, they need picks. They need to get, you know, some young players. One definitely to replace Tom Brady one day, and I think they need some – there's positions of need there.
Rich, I would stop him now before he takes your job.
He is better than me.
He may have your job by Monday.
I thought you were just kidding.
You're
in the huddle with
Riley, Arnie, and Brady coming up on Monday.
I don't know. I like the sounds of Riley and Rich. It's got a good R&R kind of flow to it.
The real question is who's a better guest, when Riley, the sixth grader, joins us, or my 92-year-old grandmother when she joined us to talk about the Cavaliers?
I think we should have Riley interview your 92-year-old grandmother and have something like
Speaking
that.
Of which, we have a great grandmother appearance in the studio. This is a first in all the years we've been in this room. I don't think we've ever had a great grandmother in this room.
Yeah, so Riley brought the whole family out. He's got his counselor from school, Albert D. Lawton. He's got his mom. He's got his great grandma. And I have to say this, he's also brave because he's wearing a Yankee shirt after that 14-1 debacle last night.
It didn't make you happy.
When you were talking about the Red Sox game, I was like spitting with fury. But in a time like this, I have to remember one thing. They could have lost by 100 runs, and they could have lost by one. It's still a loss.
I hear that a lot with spitting with fury, but that's usually about me.
Yeah.
So I hear that a lot.
I know the Yankees are going to get better. The one silver lining was Aaron Judge did look good.
Well,
unfortunately, Giancarlo Stanton struck out a few times.
Well, Riley, we want to, first of all, thank you for coming in. Riley wrote us an email wanting to come in, see how it was done. If there's anybody out there that wants to come in, see how things are done, want to see the behind-the-scenes things, just send us an email, and we love to have the kids on it. No doubt about that. Yeah.
By the way, Riley, this experience for you, does this make you want to do radio more or less in your future?
More and less.
More and less. Ouch.
And out of the three of us, who is your favorite? Oh, me. Thank you. All right,
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything
That's
yet.
Okay, but we can read your mind.
Somebody says hire him on the text line.
I heard Rich. Here's a nickel. I got a nickel.
Riley, thank you for stopping by, my friend. Who knows? Maybe you'll be doing our Saturday show. Who knows on that?
One of you one day.
Hour one in the books. I know we got Buster Olney coming up after a Brady update. All that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Moving along on a Wednesday, a hump day. Yeah, Richard, dying to say something.
Unnamed, first-time texter, hire him. On Riley, from his performance.
Kermit and Winooski said Riley was awesome. How about a weekly segment for the lad? So
how about we get him to ask a question to Buster Olney?
Ooh.
Wow. You know, I should be teaching. How come I'm not teaching in like middle school, high school?
You're teaching every day on the show.
UVM. Middlebury asked me to teach, but it was Middlebury.
Middlebury what?
Middlebury College.
Middlebury College wants you to teach?
Yes. I've talked to them about teaching.
Teaching what?
Chemistry. Well, what else am I going to teach? What am I going to teach? What am I going to teach? Television now. What else would I be teaching? Chemistry? Brain surgery? What else? What am I going to teach, for crying out loud? What else do I know besides radio?
That's true.
I mean, come on now. Yeah, they wanted me to teach. I was talking to them about teaching. So it's so far away, and it's just, I mean, it's so much work. I thought I would just go into a class and talk about myself. But they actually just want me to actually teach, you know, really do something about it. You know what I'm saying?
I just can't even imagine. I mean, thank you. I can't even imagine what it would be like for a student.
Oh, I'd be the best teacher in the world.
No, Buster would be the best teacher
I would
in the
charge
world.
$300 for an A, $200 for a B, is what I would do. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line.
I'm a professor.
Yes.
Olney.
Joining us now, Professor Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great.
How about that game? Did the Red Sox send the message or what? Boom, 14-1. How about that, huh?
For them to start out the way that they did with Sale challenging Stanton and with Mookie Betts having the great run and continuing to play well in the first game after Xander Bogaerts got hurt, yeah, it was a great win for sure.
But, Buster, do you look at that and just say, you know what, the Yanks can come back and win 1-0 tonight and that's that and on to the next game?
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's the nature of this race, the nature of these two teams. I totally agree with you. And I do think that Stanton, you know, getting a couple hits last night, he'll relax and he'll eventually figure it out. I think if you're the Yankees right now, maybe your bigger concern is about your bullpen and about, you know, the slow start, because bullpens can be so volatile, so up and down, and you hope that if you're from the Yankee perspective, if you're, you know, that a Tommy Canley, David Roberts, Dellin Betances perform better in the months ahead than they did in the first couple weeks.
You know, Buster, I'm having a little bit of trouble trying to figure out what the Red Sox should really do about this batting order. I'm thinking maybe you may have to drop Mookie Betts to something where you're going to have some people on base. I mean, the guy's killing it. Batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage. Can you keep him number one in the batting order or what?
Yeah, I think so. And I know from talking with Alex Cora, their manager, you know, he really believes in Mookie as a leadoff hitter. You know, during the course of the offseason, we were texting back and forth and going through different possibilities, and that seemed to be one thing he absolutely was settled on, was Mookie hitting leadoff. I would say, I mean, if I were, and Alex and I have talked about this, if I were a manager, I would have Rafael Devers in the top four hitting fourth. I'd have J.D. Martinez third, so I'd go right, left with Benintendi second, then J.D. Martinez, then Devers, then when he's healthy, Xander Bogaerts or
Ramirez.
Hanley Ramirez, depending on who the hot hand is. It's a terrific start of the lineup, especially with Mookie and Bogaerts off to great starts.
Buster, I know it was an easy call yesterday because of the score, but we're definitely seeing a new approach with Chris Sale this year, getting him out of games earlier, not chasing strikeouts, trying to conserve pitches. What do you think?
Yep, 100%. And I talked to Alex about that. I went to Puerto Rico to work on a story on Carlos Correa, and we stopped by and I spent a day with Alex and his mom, and that was one of the things we talked about that day. He's like, yep, we're gonna basically protect Chris Sale from himself. And I think at this point, because Chris Sale is a very proud and very competitive person, but at this point, when you've got 5-6 years of his career and track record to look at, you can tell him, look, this year and this year and this year and this year and this year, you faded after the All-Star break, and we need to make an adjustment because we need to make sure you're okay in October, because that's I know where Alex and the Red Sox think they're going to be this year.
Buster, I know they walked 7 times. That was a huge amount of their scoring yesterday. Talking about the Red Sox, obviously. But, I mean, are you noticing more than being more aggressive at the plate, going after, not getting, like, especially Bogaerts, not getting in that 0-1, 0-2 hole, just waiting for the right pitch?
I'm sure that you probably saw the interview with Mookie last night, or maybe you didn't, with Steve Levy on SportsCenter. And John Farrell was sitting at the desk, and John asked him that very question, and he said, you know, you're being more aggressive, and Mookie sort of sheepishly said, well, you know this. Sometimes I'd take pitches, and now they're looking to do damage. They're looking to drive the ball early in the count, 100%. Now, I would say this, I think we can apply this to so many of the performances around baseball early in the year. For example, the Indians are hitting 158 as a team, and other teams have struggled offensively, or you see pitchers who are relying on breaking balls struggle. I almost think you take results from the Yankee perspective last night and you throw them out, because you could tell right from the get-go, Luis Severino could not spin the ball in the cold. And I think that those 7 walks might have been as much of a result of that as about an approach from the Red Sox.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB insider, with us on the huddle as he is every Wednesday at this time. Buster, I read a fascinating story today on how the Red Sox are using defensive shifts and just how much goes into that. They've got a former Navy person like overseeing how they do play defense. This is crazy how intense this is.
And I hate to keep going back to my conversation with Alex, but I'll do it again. We talked a lot about what he was going to do with the defense. You know, last year, with the Astros, Alex, of course, was the bench coach, and he was responsible for all the defensive alignments. It's something that he's really good at doing. And so when we talked about various guys on the team and strengths and weaknesses, he would just, in Alex's nature, he'd go, don't worry about it, we got that. We'll be shifting. We'll be doing some things. Yeah, they'll go much deeper into it, And it's interesting. I think over the last 5 years, one of the shifts that we've seen between the Yankees and the Red Sox is the Yankees moved ahead of the Red Sox when it comes to analytics use. And now it feels like that the Red Sox are, under Alex, are taking another look at it and maybe making up some ground.
You like the way he's running the team right now, Cora? I mean, after that first game, I was ready to fire him. I'm like, no. Get him out of here! What's going on?
I remember that. I got to be honest, I have a hard time with Aaron Boone and with Alex Cora of giving you like some objective analysis, because I've been working with both of them for so long, and I know both of them so well. And so I'm going to tell you that I think that they're going to be terrific, right?
Well, they're off. He's off to a good start.
I said this to you guys last fall that I did wonder. Alex had never been the guy on a team. He'd never been the main man, you know. And so when the Red Sox inevitably go through that 6-8 game losing streak, how will Alex handle that? All signs that I've seen Adam is he's totally comfortable and he'll be completely fine. I think Aaron will be completely fine the way he's handled some of their struggles early on. Look, I mean, it comes down to this. If the Red Sox and Yankees lose this year, it's not going to be because they're managers.
Right, right.
Over on the Yankee side, Buster, I mean, you know, Stanton and Judge, I think they had half the team's hits yesterday. So I've got to believe they're going to be fine despite all the striking out from Stanton. But Gary Sanchez, I mean, talk about mired in a mess to start the season. How much of a concern at this point, early as it is, are you about him?
Not at all. They think that he is someone who's got, you know, tremendous raw ability, and that eventually he'll figure it out. And I think it goes under that category. It kind of like Ohtani, when at the end of spring training, a lot of folks in the media are losing their minds and wondering, is Ohtani going to be sent back to the minor leagues? Is there going to be a huge problem? And you know, you talk to a Mike Trout, you talk to general manager Billy Epler, Mike Socia, they'd kind of roll their eyes a little bit and say, we believe in the talent. And I think if you're the Yankees, knowing how they feel about Gary Sanchez, that's how you're going to feel about his slow start. And I do think that a lot of players do not like to play in especially cold weather, and some players really are affected by it. And I wonder if Gary's one of those.
Buster, how do the injuries affect the Yankees? I know, Frazier, Ellsbury, Drury, this team's been hampered early.
Drury is the one that, it'll be interesting to see how he comes out of that because, I mean, let's face it, teams know how to treat obliques and hamstring strains and even elbow ligaments. But when you have a player who's got a migraine issue, who knows? It's a great unknown. And so I'm sure they'll be, digging into it as much as they possibly can. But, they counted on him to be their third baseman. They've been aggressively pursuing him for a long time, but they're not exactly sure where he stands right now. And, some of the other stuff I think they can overcome. And I'll say this about the Dodgers and the Yankees. Those two teams have so many assets in the minor leagues. They have so much payroll flexibility in a way they haven't before. They're going to be the two most aggressive teams leading up the trade deadline in terms of fixing holes.
Buster, am I jumping the gun here, or should I start asking you for Mets Red Sox World Series tickets?
Wow. How about that?
Didn't waste any time.
Yeah!
I tell you, just being around the Mets over the weekend, what a different feel around that team.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey Callaway, we talked about the new managers with the Yankees and the Red Sox, but it's the same thing with the Mets. Mickey Callaway, I'll tell you a story he told us the other day, and the story itself was amusing, but to me, the fact that he told us his story told you so much about his self-confidence. He, of course, was a pitcher in the big leagues. He was a pitching coach for a lot of years. He never managed, and so when I saw Mickey last Saturday, I said, how's the transition going to managing? And then he laughs and he talks about how the first time he had to make a change with Anthony Swarzak when a reliever got injured, he went out to the mound with pitching coach Dave Island, and so they determined that Swarzak has to come out. Familia's warming up in the bullpen, and Dave looks at Mickey, who says, "Okay, we gotta bring in Familia." And Dave looks at him and says, "Well, you gotta tell him, you gotta wave." And Mickey's like, "Oh yeah, that's right, I'm the manager." And so he waves his hand out, and then he realizes that he wants to make a double switch, but because he hasn't been a manager, he didn't bring his lineup card out with him, and so he goes to the umpire's like, "Hey, can I borrow your lineup card for a second?" So he gets done that, and then, as they make those decisions, and then Dave Island and the trainers start to leave the mound, and Mickey reflexively follows them, and Island looks over his shoulder and said, hey, you might want to hand the ball to Familia. He's coming in from the bullpen. Oh, yeah, that's right. The manager does that, too. The fact that he told us all of that tells you this is someone who's totally comfortable in his own skin. He's brought a great message of accountability with the players, turned it into a competition, and the players are absolutely responding to it.
Buster, what about the Torey Lovullo, Yadi Molina thing the other day? I think it's safe to say Lovullo was at fault, and I think he's come to realize that and since apologized. But what a unique situation that was.
It was, and that goes right to sort of the heart of the, you know, those guys in the heat of the moment with competition. And I know Torey well enough to know, you know, that if you're having a conversation with him, you know, even if you weren't didn't have a camera on or weren't on the record, he probably would speak of Yadier Molina with tremendous respect, you know, potentially a future Hall of Famer. But once you get into the games, it's us versus them. And so he referred twice to Molina, with Molina within earshot, with a 12-letter word that starts with an M. And you know what? I kind of don't blame Molina for being upset. Yeah. And I was a little bit surprised that Molina got a suspension, because I feel like Major League Baseball, I don't know too many people in the sport who would listen to that caricature, that word, in that moment, without responding the way that he did.
Oh, wow.
Hey,
wow.
Buster, I got to ask you this. It may be something that only I have noticed, but I have noticed a lot more players going to that face flap on their batting helmet. Is that something that is going to make, I would like to see it become mandatory equipment in baseball, but why are so many players doing it?
Well, it's kind of like the progression of helmets. And by the way, when you said you noticed something almost nobody else did, I thought you were going to have a question about the Mariners.
The Mariners are 6-4. No one knows that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Look, I think if you think back to the time when, and you know, I guess I'm old enough to remember this, when helmets first started being used in baseball, and other players would be like, I'm not going to wear those. Those people who wear those are wimps. And then eventually everyone was wearing them, and then somebody wore an ear flap, and then eventually they wore that. Giancarlo Stanton and other players, Jason Hayward of the Cubs, they started wearing this face guard because they were hit in the face. And I think other players look at it more and more and say, you know what, that makes sense. I mean, what difference does a little pride make? If you can save your teeth, you can save a potential facial fracture. I agree with you. I'd love to see it become mandatory eventually, and maybe it is going to be sort of like baseball's version of seatbelts.
Wasn't it John Olerud that used to wear his helmet in the field?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And which bore the story, I'm sure you guys have heard it, about Ricky Henderson getting to first base and turning to Olerud and said, I used to play with a guy who wore a helmet in the field, and Olerud said, yeah, that was me.
Buster, last question. On injuries again, is the oblique like the flavor of the month injury? I mean, Christian Yelich has it, Ben Gamble's got it. I feel like everybody's got an oblique injury.
I'm not ready to anoint it this year. I think last year was the year of the blister, right?
Yeah.
2 years ago was Tommy John. I'm going to wait a little bit on anointing 2018 as the year of the oblique. But you're right. We're seeing it a handful of times early in the year.
Buster, always a great job, my friend. Let's go Mets and have a great
whatever.
That's right.
I tell you right now, my son is a Braves fan. I don't know why. I live 45 minutes north of New York City. Somehow he became a Braves fan and a passionate Braves fan. It's going to be a rough summer between the Mets and the Braves in this area.
That's for sure. Buster, have a great week. We'll speak to you next week, buddy.
See you guys.
Take care. Thanks. Buster Olney, everybody, our MLB insider. Always love talking to him. I love talking to
him. And, of course, his Dodgers are, what, 4-6 or something?
Wow. I mean, no, they're worse than that.
It's not starting well.
I think they're worse than that. They're just
They used to be his Dodgers.
Yeah, they're just horrible right now. I got to look up their record. I think they were 3-6. Now they're
4-6.
Oh, they go. So
they won. Oh, so of course I'm right.
You are right. Look at that.
I'm always mistake right. of the day. Arnie had the Dodgers record wrong.
I didn't say what they were. I said I think that's wrong.
So that's the non-mistake of the day. Is that a contest?
Yes, the non-mistake of the day, thanks to Buster Olney. I'm going to have to get those Red Sox Met tickets real soon, though. I got to make sure I'm first on that.
Yeah.
Mets are
I've said all along. I mean, I'm waiting for the pitching staff to crash, but if they don't, look out. Right. Absolutely.
I'm really questioning if I should read this, but I guess I should. Alex and Moncton. Because I never consider Buster Olney ever wrong, but he said to, I hate to disagree with Buster, but he said throughout the performance and Severino couldn't spin it in the cold. It is not cold in October? With a question mark. So,
well, I don't know. yes, it's cold in October, but
man, but you're upper 30s,
upper 30s, 40s, and even in October, you're still playing in the 50. I don't know.
And what is Severino's track record in October? I mean, didn't he get absolutely bombarded in the playoffs
last year in
one of his starts?
Terrible in the first series of the year.
He didn't even get out of the first inning.
Yes, the wild card game against Minnesota.
Well, maybe that's Buster does have something. Glenn says, wow, look at Buster taking a shot at Brady's Mariners. Wow. So, he took a shot at your Mariners, Brady, but I didn't even know they're 6-4. So
6-4.
I was fighting for that wild card already.
If they didn't play in the division with the dang Astros, then we'd know a lot more about them.
And the Angels are off to a good start.
Yeah, about that.
I've always liked Ohtani. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
And Trout's hitting about .215.
That's incredible. And you said he was the best hitter you've ever seen in your lifetime.
Yep.
You want to take that back now?
Nope.
You might want to take it back.
No, he'll be fine.
Another month from now, maybe he'll take it back?
Nope.
You won't have to.
After the year when he's batting .215 for the year, maybe he'll take that back?
If you're the best shooter in every gym, then Trout can still be the best hitter I've ever seen.
Over under .240. No. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, remember, the mistake of the day, if you want to get in, you always can. 802-655-6672. Qualifiers every single day. We pick one qualifier a day out of all the mistake texts that we get. So if you are the mistake of the day winner for the week, you're going to get that brand new 101.3 ESPN baseball cap thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right every time. As for what's coming up next, Robert Kraft appears to be pretty chill as he gets a little older because he's not worried about Gronk or anything else.
All right, we'll get to that. Coming up next right here on 101.3.
Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon routine, people of planet Earth. We appreciate you. The Huddle is back right here on 101.3 ESPN. Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. One thing I will never, ever do is what Rich did today.
What?
I will never, ever do that. Andrew in Colchester texted, Rich, it was nice seeing you at the edge today and listening to you talk about Brockmeyer.
So exercise you will never do.
No, I will never. I don't talk to people while I'm naked. I don't talk to them.
Well, I wasn't. I was actually in the hot tub with this guy.
I don't talk to people when I'm in the hot tub either, okay? You got to leave me alone.
But I wasn't naked. I'm not going to be naked
in the hot tub. I don't want to hear about you with your clothes off talking sports. It's bad
enough. He starts the show by announcing he takes 4 showers a day.
But it's bad enough listening to you talk sports with your clothes on. Not with your clothes
on. Arnie, did you really just say that?
All right, I'll tell you what then. Why don't
Rich, please. You're talking too much.
Hey, this could be a new idea. Think about this.
I don't want it. Whatever. No, no, no. Wherever you're going, please don't
think
go
about, there. You know how
I will mute. Yes. I will mute you so fast.
You know, LeBron James is fighting with Nick Saban about having the show in a barbershop. We should do a show in a hot tub.
Okay.
Yeah. How great is that?
As long as nothing's plugged in.
Brilliant.
I'm all for
genius.
That.
How about that?
My problem is once I've spent 15 minutes in a hot tub, I'm literally asleep.
Not that I really want to continue this conversation, but Arnie, I've seen you play basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a pretty sweaty individual.
I'm very sweaty.
I don't think that you can last more than about 8 minutes in a hot tub.
Well, I can last in a hot tub, but you know,
I mean, you take 4 showers a day. Your body's used to hot water,
right? That's true. Arnie, go to Natural Food Store. They will sell you earwax candles. That is worth a try. Why aren't you guys talking about the 76ers' 15 straight franchise wins?
Yeah. Well, I agree. Look out for them.
We don't live in Philly, but yeah.
No, but that's a big story.
It's a good run.
It is. I would worry greatly about them in the playoffs.
I would, too.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to get the 3 seed, aren't they, if they win tonight?
They're a game up on Cleveland, so yes, they could get the 3 seed.
Wow. They may go further than the Celtics.
I'm amazed at how many different combinations of things the Celtics can get. They could play Miami, Washington, or Milwaukee, all dependent on what happens tonight.
All right, Brady, get to the breaking news about the Patriots.
Hot tub was the breaking news.
Well, that too.
That's news that I want to break and not go anywhere near again. The Patriots have released their preseason schedule for all you diehard football fans.
All right, let me write this down.
Week 1, they're going to take on Washington. That's at home.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Week 2, they're going to take on the Eagles in a Super Bowl rematch.
Really? Oh, I'm going to
also
that.
At home.
I'm going to that.
Oh, good. At least it's home.
Week 3, at Carolina.
Again.
Week 4, at the Giants,
same as last year. I mean,
so are they going to open up against Philadelphia also to start the season?
No, Philadelphia is going to open up against Minnesota, I believe.
Okay.
The NFL schedule comes out next month, but it's already been leaked that we're thinking Eagles and Vikings in a rematch of the NFC title game.
That is a good preseason schedule. If you want to ever go see the Patriots, you don't go to regular season Washington and Philadelphia. That's not bad.
If you're a season ticket holder, you have no choice. You have to pay full price for those games that mean nothing.
Or you can't buy individual preseason
seats. No, you can. Okay, he's saying if you're a season ticket holder.
Right. It ain't cheap. Those things are expensive.
Even the preseason. Well, yeah. Right.
And Brady plays like one snap and he's gone.
Yeah, but I mean, some people can't afford to go to the game. So, you know, they give away those tickets. And, you know, that's when all the season ticket holders give away those seats.
And the one good thing is it's the one time of the year where it's going to be 75 degrees in Foxborough. Yeah.
Well, I would go to see Philadelphia in the preseason in a heartbeat. What are you talking about?
Could you make that happen?
Game two of the preseason, we don't know that Carson Wentz will be available. We don't know how much Brady will play, and the answer is probably not a ton.
Right.
Week one against Washington, Alex Smith there, so that gives some intrigue. But he's not going to play that much week one. The road games are the ones where they're going to play more, especially that third one in Carolina.
They won't play against the Giants, though, right? The final week.
Fourth one they won't play against.
That going into all the preseason. So you're just going to enjoy the game.
Isn't it the third one that's usually the one where you use most of the players?
The second and third. Yep. Last year, it was... Oh, man, who'd they open with?
I thought they went to the Giants in Carolina last year, too.
Detroit, Houston, and the Giants.
I couldn't remember
what
preseason game last year.
Detroit's the one where Edelman tore his ACL.
Jacksonville,
Houston, Lions, Giants.
Because they had the joint practices with Jacksonville.
Right.
And Rex Burkhead was excellent against Houston.
Right.
As he was every game he played in.
Well, I got to tell you, I would go to preseason. I'd go watch it. I don't care if I don't get to see all the stars. With so many young, great players this year. Coming into the draft, you'll get to see a lot of great action there. What did you want to say?
I love Zach and Bristol's text on the Town Fair Tire text line.
Arnie, wow.
No, no.
which one are you talking about?
No, he goes, how about Russell Westbrook needs 16 rebounds tonight to average a triple-double for the second season in a row? That's huge. That deserves an Arnie wow.
That is huge, even though Colin Coward downgrades out like it's no big deal.
Because Colin hates Carmelo and he hates Westbrook.
Well, Oscar didn't have back-to-back, right? Triple-doubles. It was only average triple-doubles. It was only 1 year.
This would be an unbelievable stat.
Well, because people don't like Westbrook.
And he's in
Oklahoma City. I didn't even know Oklahoma City had a team till this year.
But you cannot dismiss what he's doing this year. The problem is OKC is just not that as good as everyone had him. But when you've got Paul George asking for the ball the whole night and putting up 20 shots, and you've got Carmelo, the king of give me the ball, and you still average a triple-double. That's an unbelievable feat in my mind.
Westbrook is incredibly likable, and I'm disappointed in anybody who says that he's not. There's a difference between being likable and being tough to play with.
Right.
You can be both things. If I'm a fellow NBA player, maybe Russell Westbrook is hard to play with. He does take too many shots. He is a volume scorer.
He's not the first.
No, he's not.
No.
So maybe he's tough to play with, but in terms of him not being likable, Russell Westbrook is never been in trouble.
Nope.
He's not in trouble with the league.
I think
ever.
He married his wife was a UCLA basketball player.
He still talks positively of his school.
Absolutely.
Russell Westbrook is a good guy.
And wanted to stay in Oklahoma
City. And stayed
City
in OKC, after, which is not where everybody wants to be.
Kevin Durant left. No, yeah. I like him. I think people that rag on him are way off.
And anybody who calls him a ball hog, hello, he's averaging double-digit assists for a season.
I bet you I can name 50 ball hogs in the off the top of my head.
Teammate.
Forget about that. Brady, what's going on with Robert Kraft? What's happening to him and Gronk?
Robert Kraft told The Athletic that he's not worried about the Gronk situation. He also doesn't really seem to be worried about anything. I don't recall Robert Kraft being like this Cali cool, let it flow guy, but that's the image that he has right now. He doesn't seem to be worried about anything.
I've said this before. A lot of these owners now, and Rich, you'll back this up, getting up there in age, Ralph Wilson died. His family sold the Bills. It took him 6 months. They couldn't get rid of that team fast enough. People were just like all over it. As these guys start getting up in age, these owners, Jerry Jones, he's going to do everything to win. Robert Kraft already has his winnings. He's already won those Super Bowls. So I think he's more relaxed and let more things roll off him. I mean, he lost his wife. He's up there in age. I think he just wants to enjoy his years. He's not chasing a ring now.
No, and the only time he's made really any public appearance that I've seen is when he sent the jet down for the Parkland
kids to go
to Washington,
absolutely.
D.C., which is obviously something his people wanted him, I'm sure, to come forward about because it's a very positive.
Yeah, but he wanted to do
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, there's a press conference for a situation like that waiting to happen. But yeah, I mean, he went out today about Gronk. He says, it's not even an issue for me. You know, he says, I was impressed that he showed up at Gillette in the offseason. He's doing whatever he can. And he does. He seems very laid back about the whole thing.
Just while on the subject of him, you know, sometimes when the owners leave and they leave it to their kids, you know, the team is never the same. You think the team is going to continue being like that? Or it's tough expectations, but yeah. I'm just wondering, you know, who's how's it going to be run once he's gone?
Yeah, well,
you know?
Jonathan Kraft worries me a little bit. I'm not. I think as long as he just sort of lets it go. I think they'll be all right.
I think right now you've got the perfect intersection of coach and quarterback and stability in the organization. So I think that I don't think you can replicate what the Patriots have done under any other circumstances.
Sometimes it doesn't work. I see what goes on with the Lakers.
Yeah.
When Dr. Bussey had Mitch Kupchak in there, they had the coaching situation in there. Once he passed away, and Genie and I forget the brother's name. They all got their grubby hands on it. They were fighting like crazy.
Jim Buss, right?
Jim, that's right, yeah. Jim. And there's another sister, Jenny, that you don't hear about, that doesn't give a Buss. Damn about that.
Go ahead and tell your story.
No, I went to high school with them, but that's beside the point. They have not done a really good job of running the Lakers, and I'm just wondering, the next generation, they don't have patience for stuff like this.
And the Steinbrenners, remember? You know, that's another
Hal Steinbrenner.
One. I really thought, every time you mentioned
Jimmy
Buss.
But Hal's been running it. Even when his father was alive the last couple of years.
Al Davis. Yeah.
Mark
Davis, yeah.
Every time you talk about Jeannie Buss, you follow with how she was almost your wife.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going to keep going there.
You know, if I would have asked her out, she would have said yes. I was a good-looking guy, long hair, mullet, mustache. Right. And there's no doubt she would have said yes. We would have gone to the movies, and we would have been married. I'd be half-owner of the Lakers right now.
But you would have made her buy her own popcorn,
so then you would have
not gotten date number two.
Yeah. I remember she had a BMW in high school.
There's a shock.
Wow. Oh, yeah, she's. I didn't know she was. Her father did not own the Lakers at that point. He was going to buy the Indiana Pacers. I wanted to know that.
She would have ditched you so fast because you got arrested at UCLA's campus for inciting a riot.
Oh, you're bringing up all my stories now. Yes.
So you would have been the bad boy that she wasn't allowed to bring home to the family.
Maybe, but good girls like bad boys. And after I got arrested for inciting a riot, I was one of the bad boys.
So you've been Googling Arnie Spanier? Is that?
No, he just knows all my stories by now.
Because I've heard them all 107 times.
I've told you I've been arrested for inciting a riot at UCLA campus.
But you remember I have to hear everything 5 times before it actually sinks in. You must have told this story last summer while I was gone.
No, I tell it every week. Zach in Bristol said, Arnie with a mullet and a mustache. Wow.
That is wow.
Yeah, I should try to find a picture of that and put that
but
up.
How about if you don't?
Arnie, I thought that was a good point you made at the top of this about Kraft, about how he's not chasing the titles, so he's able to be more relaxed. I mean, you are right. Some of the more intense owners are people that are chasing titles,
like Jerry Jones,
even though he has titles. He doesn't have titles recently. And then
he hasn't done it in 20 years.
You know, but George Steinbrenner wasn't chasing
close
titles.
To 20 years.
Well, he was chasing titles at the beginning, but he was always two hands on.
Yeah, but Hal could be chasing. I'm curious to see, you know, how Hal's going to handle things. He might be pushing it a little bit also. I think Mark Davis is doing everything financially too, by the way. That's all about money in his pocket.
Yeah.
Because they just couldn't make it work where he is right now. So a lot going on with that. Real quick, anything on the Bruins? I'll give you 30 seconds, Rich. Anything about the Bruins?
Great, 30 seconds. Nothing
wow.
today. Just a little nervous about the way they ended the season, and we'll see. But I can't wait for tonight. A lot of big games. That Flyers-Penguins series is going to be a battle royale.
We can go to the Bruins when we come back.
All right. I gave Brady summertime hours since I am the boss. Brady, what's coming up at Champaign Valley game night tonight?
We'll talk a little bit about David Price's reinvention of himself as he gets ready to start tonight. And Theo McDowell, who's an Essex Junction native, played 2 years of high school baseball at South Burlington High School. He just made his commitment to West Virginia as a baseball player.
Wow.
We'll talk to him.
And we'll get some Bruins also. We got a lot to get to next segment right here on 101.3.
This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle, cruising right by right here on 101.3 ESPN. You sure you're coming out to play basketball tonight?
Yes.
I
will be there.
You sure?
Yes.
I gave you your basketball. Did you see your basketball?
I did, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Because someone stole it from my bag
Stole it last time we played at the Monday-Wednesday Williston. It was one of the hoodlums that we played. But who stole it, by the way? Let's give him a shout-out.
I don't know.
Let's give him a shout-out.
Wait, let's give him a shout-out. Who took the ball?
I don't know.
All right.
Because I left and realized it was gone, so I don't know who took it.
It was that guy.
Well, how did Jake and Williston end up with it?
Because I texted him and said, if you're still there, can you get my ball? And he got it and gave it to you.
I think maybe he took it. I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't take it.
Wow. Maybe. We have to get down to this. I'm going to have to figure out who took the ball and and how it got back. But, yeah, we're going to play ball tonight. It was packed on Monday. There was like 40 people.
Yeah, better not be that packed tonight.
40 people. How many minutes do you play when there's 40 people?
There's too many. If you're a loser and you can't play, I'm not going to have you come tonight. Yeah. I'm going to send you to the other gym. The losers bad ball players go to the other gym.
Right.
I can't have that tonight.
Right.
Can't be spoiling my Wednesday.
You wouldn't want to show them up too bad with your incredible ability.
No. Right. There was a lot of smack talking on Monday, too. A lot of smack talking.
Good. I'm in a smack talk mood today. Usually I'm not.
I'm totally the. I may hurt somebody today. I may go out of my way and hurt somebody.
I may end some people's dreams tonight.
You know, we're playing YMCA Thursday. We win that game. We play Trimboli's team the following week.
Right.
I promise
and lose by 40.
I promise you. Pretty boy Trimboli will lose some teeth when we're all said and done.
Oh, stop.
I promise you that.
Please don't make threats.
Yeah, that is kind of threatening.
Well, it's
he's
not threatening.
He's going to lose some teeth?
By accident, of course. By accident.
Please don't make threats.
All right, how about an elbow to the eye by accident?
Oh, well, that's
much better there. Brady, what do we got going on now? What's happening?
Well, let's talk about the Bruins first. Bruins open up their playoff series tomorrow against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll have it for you on 960 The Zone. And a lot of the talk about this series has been about the Maple Leafs youth, right? Their top three goal scorers are all under 21 years old. How does that youth translate into the playoffs where it's more physical, where you need more experience? Well, the Bruins have a lot of youth, too, and I started thinking about, should we be worried about the Bruins' youth? Tom Karen of Nesson sounds like he is. He told us this yesterday.
And honestly, in a lot of ways, it reminds me of how I felt about the Red Sox in 2016, right? They won the division. You said, oh, boy, I hope we get Cleveland. They're going to roll over Cleveland and go all the way to the World Series. And three games later, you've been swept by the Indians. And we all remember Mookie Betts after that saying, wow, you know, the playoffs are different. We got to learn how to deal with this. And they're still trying to figure it out. Point being, this Bruins team is also a very young team. And they're good enough to win the Stanley Cup. They're young enough that they could lose in the first round.
Yeah. So are you worried about the Bruins youth? Charlie McAvoy and Danton Heinen and all these guys that were there for a cup of coffee last year or haven't been there at all. It's something to think about.
Well, they've handled Toronto this year. I think they won three out of
four. No, Toronto's won three of four.
Right. I thought they won three of four. I thought they won three of four.
No, Toronto's won.
Okay, so
Toronto beat them three
one.
Out of four, and they sometimes there's a matchup issue there. But I do worry about guys like Grizzlick and McAvoy. What are they? I mean, they're both extremely young.
I mean, McAvoy's 21.
Yeah, and we're not talking about a team that's average offensively. I mean, the Maple Leafs put up huge numbers. So I think there's a lot of pressure on them because – I don't know what you're going to get out of Tuca. I mean, what is Tuca? He's been really good for a long period.
Why would
you
doubt him now after what he's done this year?
I just think it was a little bit of a roller coaster ride. I think the last month or so, he's been okay. He carried him for about a month and a half through that winning streak.
Well, he needs to be a constant in this playoffs for a team. For if we're going to say that we're worried about some of the, quote, skating position play, some of the skating players on this team because of their youth, then the veteran goaltender needs to be a constant. He needs to be somebody that can pick up the slack for some of those guys that we're anticipating there to be some playoff slippage for. This is a scary situation, I think, for the Bruins because of all that youth. And as TC said, it can go one of two ways. That young naivete can lead you to the cup, or that young inexperience can get you bounced early. And I think that is something to think about. Game one, I think, is super important. Number one, the stats are out there. If you win game one in a best-of-seven series, it's 66% of the time that the team that wins game one wins the series. Mm. So that's massively important. But if a young team like the Bruins or the young players on the Bruins lose game one, the math's not in your favor, and you've lost at home, I think that weighs on you psychologically. They need to come out and win game one.
And that's a perfect example. And the Celtics are in this boat, too. And we're not expecting great things in the playoffs with the Celtics because half the team is not going to play in the playoffs. But you have to have a situation where you've got some momentum going into the playoffs. And I just don't see the Bruins with that.
I read a line about the goaltender for Toronto. I thought it was hysterical. Who is it? The Anderson.
Yep.
Said he faces more shots than a bar at Daytona Beach.
No, he's right.
Because their defense isn't the best.
It's been this way
but
forever.
But I thought that was hysterical,
it's been this way for absolutely ever with Toronto. Every game's 5-4, 4-3. And that's why I wonder about young kids like Grizzlick and McAvoy. They really have to rise up in this series.
Yeah, they. But I mean, the Bruins' number one line, though, I mean, if and they've tailed off a little bit, but if they get back to where they were in the middle of the season, they'll get by Toronto, and I think it'll be kind of easy, to be honest with you.
Let's not forget the name Rick Nash. I'm hearing maybe, maybe not, as far as this series goes. I think he's a huge factor when it comes to a series like this.
And Riley Nash is out for game one.
Yep.
And, I just think there's a lot of I have no idea how this series is going to go. Again, I don't know if that youth on both sides is an advantage. I don't know if it ends up being a disadvantage, but I know whichever team wins game one has a clear advantage.
I'm just glad they're not playing Washington.
We got game one Thursday, 6:30 with the pregame on 960 The Zone. So if you want to tune on in here, Bruins hockey, playoff hockey, game one Thursday, 6:30 on the pregame.
And game two will be Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. I'm looking at that right now. Wow. Good job on that. All right, Brady, what's David Price, of course, the ace of the staff, just like I knew he was going to be.
David Price.
Just the way you called it.
Just the way I called it.
David Price pitching tonight, and the mayor of New York, number one, did you know, is a diehard Red Sox fan.
Yes.
And number two is speaking on David Price, and he says, I think David Price has gotten a raw deal. Look, I can only imagine what it's like to go into my beloved Fenway if you didn't come up through the system. It would be a real interesting study and see how those fared psychologically or symbolically. I totally butchered that one. There's a mistake of the day. Wow.
You read like me.
It's your own writing.
I can only imagine what it's like to go into my beloved Fenway if you didn't come up. A real interesting study would be those who came up in the Red Sox farm system historically and how they fared psychologically, symbolically, et cetera, versus those who just came in from the outside.
I'm still not sure what you said.
Well, I've never heard David Price got a raw deal. I've never heard that phrase before. What's he making per year?
Layman's terms, it's easier to be liked by Red Sox Nation if you have come up through the farm system than if you were an import.
I think it's easier to be liked by Red Sox Nation when you start off 2-0 or 3-0.
Yes.
And you don't shoot off your mouth like a knucklehead like you did last year, blaming everything on everybody, including announcers and stuff like that. Oh, it's a big difference when you're pitching real lousy and you're blaming announcers and getting into a fight with what's-his-face. The reliever, and this year too. So there you go. Yeah, there's a big
difference.
That reliever guy.
Hall of Famer. I can't remember his name.
What's his name again?
Dennis Eckersley, yes.
Who looks like the guy just from Rollerball.
He looks exactly at his age right now as he did when he was 25. He has not changed one bit.
Does look good.
I'll say this, though. Number one, I don't think David Price has gotten a raw deal. I think he brought a lot of it on himself.
Yep.
But I do think that the mayor is right, that it is easier to be liked anywhere when you are one of the guys who's been there forever.
Oh.
Look, Dustin.
Well, wait. One Pedroia of the guys who's been there forever, or you said coming up through the organization?
Right. Dustin Pedroia, he got grief from you and me last year. Red Sox Nation doesn't think Dustin Pedroia did anything wrong last year.
He's bulletproof.
Why? He's been there. Yep. He came through the system. He's been a career-long Red Sox player, and he's won World Series with them. He can do no wrong. But David Price, I promise you this, if Chris Sale struggled this year, they'd be all over him too. Yep.
I think they'll be over pretty much anybody. You know, if you get
Jackie Bradley was hitting 115, and he's not getting anything. No. One of the boys who came up.
You know, I still don't see that. But it's like Altuve. You know, obviously he came up through the Astros organization out there. I don't think they, you know, if he would have a bad year last year, I don't think it would have said, oh, he's with the organization. Let's, you know, keep him and he's a great guy and all. They're going to make their moves, you know?
Yeah, but that's the organization. The fans.
The fans would give him a little bit more of
the
leeway.
The fans give you leeway because they have been invested in you from the time you were 16.
Big Papi didn't come into the organization. They love him.
No, but you know what? He was with them for so long that people forget
he actually was
a Minnesota Twin at one
point.
He was a Seattle Mariner.
They cut him, Rich.
Right.
David Arias
was his name.
David Ortiz for Dave Hollins. That was the Mariners trade.
What a trade that one.
But I agree with Brady on this. I think that there is a factor. And the other thing to think about as an outsider coming in, it usually means you've signed as a free agent, so you've made a massive contract that's potentially crippling your beloved team.
I mean, and look at Yankee fans like this, too. That core four, Jeter, Rivera, Bernie Williams, Pettit. And Pettit, who even a steroid-admitted user, he can do no wrong in Yankees lore. But Jason Giambi, Carl Pavano, A-Rod, A.J. Burnett, it goes on and on. Even guys that did, even Teixeira, caught a lot of flack from Yankee fans because they're not, quote, one of us.
Yeah, Red Sox fans, Look, I think they're some of the best fans in all of baseball. There's no doubt on that. But Yankee fans are a little bit different because they have that history. You know what I mean? That Yankee history with Babe and Garrick and those guys and how they love them and out in the outfield. I think that's a little bit different than the Red Sox.
Well, yeah,
fans.
But does the 20-year-old kid at the ballpark care about any of this?
No, not at all. Not anymore. Not one bit at all, my friend. All right, this show just flew on by, for crying out loud. Brady, last story standing, and then we got to go get out of here. You got Champlain Valley game night coming.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you what Last Story Standing is?
Well, give me a hint.
Robert Kraft hanging out in prison.
Nice. Yeah, I've been there before.
I know you've been there before.
We'll get to that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow morning on Golic and Wingo.
The NFL draft is 14 days away.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, final stuff on the text line. Intern Logan said, look at Stanton in New York getting booed, and he just got there.
Yeah, that's right.
They're nuts. They're knuckleheads out there. Sometimes it's hard to root for a player who historically was a hated opponent. That is from a first-time texter out there. And Glennon Moncton, Price spent most of his time playing for a divisional rival. That's why it's unusual. So there you go.
Very similar thoughts.
Yeah, on that one. All right, Brady, what do we got for last story? I think Robert Kraft was in prison.
Robert Kraft was hanging out with Meek Mill, the rapper who's in jail. It's been a big movement. Hashtag free Meek Mill. People want Meek Mill out of jail, and everyone from Julius Erving to Robert Kraft has gotten involved. And Robert Kraft says that he's an amazing young man. I know how I'd feel if I were in his situation. He's very intelligent. Well, Meek Mill, I don't fully know all of the details behind Meek Mill's incarceration, but right. At like 21 years old or 19 years old, he had some gun possession charges and was sentenced to a small amount of time in prison and 7 years probation. He has violated that probation multiple times, and now they have put him in prison for it after kind of letting him off the hook. So seems to me like he might be very intelligent, but if you're violating probation repetitively.
Well, I have no sympathy for you when you violate probation several times.
Multiple times.
What the hell is Robert Kraft aligning himself with that for?
Well, it is a movement, as Brady said. There is a movement. I think it's like in the Hollywood people up there, mostly a lot of celebrities want him freed. So it's kind of like a move if you look up free.
So it's okay to just make endless stupid decisions.
Oh, it's the Hollywood crowd out there. I'm just saying that's where it's coming from. So, you'll read more about that as the weeks go by.
That just seems like an odd couple to me. I mean, we were just saying a few minutes ago about how Robert Kraft seems to be sort of sitting back and staying out of the limelight a little bit. This seems to be going directly against that.
Kraft was there with his friend Michael Rubin to advocate for the release of Mill.
There you go.
All right.
So Robert Kraft and Meek Mill.
All right. Thanks to intern.
Intern Nathan.
And we got to thank Riley.
That's
he
right.
He came out here. Just a great kid. Which middle school does he go to again?
Albert Lawton.
Albert Lawton Middle School. So we want to say hello to all the kids out there at Albert Lawton Middle School. Hope you guys listen to the show. For Brady, for Rich, for Arnie. Champaign Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Sports and sports talk for the Champlain Valley. WCPB, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.